think it's maybe because God's got something good for us this morning, something that the devil didn't want us to grab a hold of. So if you're watching online and you're home, I know numbers are up as far as the quarantine numbers and all the virus numbers. I truly believe what I prayed over you this morning, and I pray that over my girls. We added that to our prayer when the pandemic started. I added to our prayer that, God, we thank you for health in our house, our county, our city, our state, and our country. Because I believe he can not only bring healing to your individual bodies, he can heal our nation. And I truly believe that. And that's why I just felt that to pray for you this morning. And if we ever need to be praying for the world and for our country, it's now. And I don't say that as a political statement. I say that is because that just proves there's so many people who are looking to something other than our Savior for an answer. And it's just not going to be there. Before we get started and jump in, I know Melanie did, but I want to kind of go over this again. You should have got a couple of things this morning. The first was your prayer. Sorry, they gave me some here and I can't get it out. It was one of these. And listen, let me ask you this. If you can at all, I understand that you work. I understand if you're like my wife, you have the girls and getting those ready, and either in the morning or in the evening. We're asking for 1 hour a day this week. And we changed it. I used to say, just come when you can, dip in, dip out. I'm not saying that anymore. We're in a situation in our lives now and in the world now, we need more than just dip in and dip out with God. We need to give him some time. And we figured, and you know, it was reasonable to do an hour for this week. If you have to do it at home, if you look online, you can go to bchurch.org and you'll see this 7-day restart logo. You can click on that and it can get you, if you're watching online, it will download you this. Also on there, if you want to do it at home and take time to pray by yourself, we have curated a Spotify list that we use here to play during the prayer time. You can go to your BC app, you can go on the web, and you can get to that Spotify list. We've made it, it's under BC Audio, I think is the username. But we've given you the link and all to it, and you can go and you have the exact list. There's 4 hours of music on there that we play and we leave running here while we're doing the worship time. The second thing is you got these little 3x5 cards. And if you're online, you can look up top and contact us, Facebook, YouTube, and send us your prayer requests. Again, I ask you, I understand why people say, I've got an unspoken prayer request. Again, I think we're beyond that now in life. We need to talk. We need to tell people, this is what I'm believing God for. Things that the world will look at us and say is impossible. So we put it on our social media post on Saturday. We don't see these as 3x5 cards. I see this as a saved lost one, a healed husband, a healed wife. I see this as victory over something you've been fighting for. I see this of you praying for maybe financial, to get your finances in order and God to help you. I see that as an answered prayer. We'll put these out up here this week, and again, we'll pray over them during the year. We're going to keep these. So don't just give us a general, bless me, Lord. God already wants you blessed. You need to know that. But he does want to know and wants us to agree with you on a specific thing. And again, put as much or as little information as you feel comfortable, but I'm asking you to do more than just a general, bless me, Lord. And then the last thing is these. You should see these out in the foyer. These are, and don't get confused, we have a week prayer guide, but we wanted you to have something with a little more information and a place for you to write. This is the 2021 BC prayer guide. Inside of it is, and we're going to talk a little bit about it today, is some different prayers. The Bible doesn't give us many specific word-for-word prayers, but we've included those in here, some patterns for prayer. We've also included something, if you want to maybe go beyond praying, something that Melanie and I are going to do, and that's fast. And I say that, and people look at me like, what's that? Fasting is, in the full sense, is you basically just drink water. Jesus did it for 21 days. All we're asking is you to find something. Here's the way I heard this preached, and this is not my message, but I want to give this to you. Fasting is simply this. Take something out of your life that when you miss it will cause you to go, well, I need to stop and pray. I had a friend of mine in his church. A guy came up to him and said, Pastor, I'm gonna fast with you, and I think I know what I'm going to do. And he said, great, what is it? He said, I'm not smoking any marijuana in the next 7 days. And the pastor said, that's a good one. He goes, maybe you should try it longer. He goes, we'll see. It's going to be tough. On the eighth day, he came back to him and said, Pastor, he goes, I don't know why, but I can hear God now, and I couldn't hear him when I was smoking that stuff, and I don't want it anymore. He had taken something that kept God from him and gave God that space. That's all I'm asking. For some of you, maybe it's social media. For me, I'm doing a couple things. So as a public announcement now, and my wife and I talked about this, for this week especially, I'm cutting off I'm deactivating whatever it is you need to do, my online presence, my social media. I hate it. You have to know in me. I hate it because I want to know what's going on in the world. But I need to give God some time. So somebody else will handle our church media and all. We'll still be able to still communicate. Find something that when you take it out and then you miss it, you go, wait a minute, I missed that. I need to have a chat with Daddy. It's that simple. Wherever you are, you could be at work. I do it here during the week. This week, there's times where I just stop for a minute and just have a chat with God besides the time in the morning. So grab your prayer guides. And one of my favorite things about these prayer guides is there's a part in here where you can write down the things you're praying for. You can write down your family. And the reason I say write it down is because I want you to be able to come back and show me in December and go, look, in January I wrote this down. In March, God did this for me. In October, God did this for me. I've been praying for years, but look what God did. And you have it written down, something you can hold on to. These are free. They are all, if you want one, they're in the foyer on a table. You can pick one up on your way out. If we run out, we'll print some more and have them for you next week. If you need one quicker than that, if you'll just let us know at the office, we will get it to you. It also actually has a lot of information about fasting. If you've never read or learned, I want to know what a biblical fast is, there's a lot of information in here with that. Also, a quick reminder for all the, I keep getting questions, when are we going to go back to message notes? When are we going to go back to message notes, the things we used to hand out? And the answer is right now we're not. But if you go to YouVersion, right now you can go to YouVersion, click more. When you click more, you'll see events. When you click events, it should pop up because you're sitting here in Believer's Church. It should pop up and say Believer's Church. All the message notes are there. If you're online, you can go do the same thing. Just search Believer's Church of Sylvania. Actually, in that one place, you can give. You can go to Spotify and get the worship list. Anything we want to give to you, we can put in there. And so we're going to be ramping this up. Just give us time, but it's there, and it's active, and you can click save. And once you click save, it'll save the message notes, and then you can actually import them or do whatever you want to do with them, make your own notes, and you'll have that to look back over. Over the next few minutes... And I went a little longer with that than I wanted to, but I'm going to give these to you quick. I'm going to give you a prayer map. If you're online at home or in the room, if I asked you, and I'm not going to do it, so everybody relax. If I just said, I'm going to point at somebody, and you're going to come up here and pray. Besides those of you who are just about bolted, like I saw some feet go down, like, uh-uh. Like he's about to point, I'm leaving. Answer me this. Do you find it hard to pray? Come on now, be honest with me. I'm the only one. Can you pray more than 30 seconds without going, do you say, I'm going to pray, and then you start, God, and then you just go blank. See, that's normal. But I'm this morning going to give you a map or a guide or a pattern, whatever term you want to use, to take the pressure off. Because here's my goal for you this week. If this is new for you, then here's my goal. I want you just to have a conversation with God all week long. And let me just put a lot of you at rest. Other than a few of you that I know are our Northern Yankee transplants, The bulk of us are from the South. We don't speak King James English. We make one word syllables into five and six words. We draw them out. And we speak slow. When my wife moved here, people had to tell her to slow down. She moved from California, and her speed was now over 21 years. She's kind of slowed down to our speed. So God's not expecting you to have this high English, this proper etiquette. He just wants to hear, "Morning, Daddy," to have a conversation with God. In that prayer guide, there's some other patterns you can follow. Maybe a combination of them will work. But if you'll take what I'm going to give you and just step through this during your hour, because I'm believing you're going to be here or wherever you are doing it for an hour this week, every day, and walk through this, it will take you through it, and then it kind of becomes habit. And then it'd be kind of just a routine of, okay, God, here's what I got today. But there's a divine order. And this, what I'm giving you, is in the booklet, and it goes way deeper. We just don't have time to get into the depth of where this comes from. The first thing you need to do is just say thank you. And we're saying thank you talking to our God. Say thank you for what you've done. Over 20 times in the book of Psalms alone, it says give thanks. Before we roll out our long list of demands from God, before we walk in the door, and if you have kids, as parents, we don't like this. Your kid walks up, you hadn't seen them all day, they get in from school, and instead of them maybe being grateful that you made dinner, you know, that my wife and that my girls walk in and start demanding stuff. This is what I need, this, I need this, I need this. God's okay with our asking for stuff. But isn't it be nice to go to God and say, thank you for sending your son. Thank you for saving me. Even if he did nothing else for us, the Bible says he's given us Jesus. Look what the Bible says here in Psalms 100. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, and do what? Okay, let's try that again. Y'all can read, we can answer. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise and give thanks. Here's what I've learned, 21 years of marriage. A lot of times I say thanks here, but I don't say it here. In my head, I've said, thank you for doing that to Melanie, but I've never actually verbally said it. Try it. Try to, God, thank you, and say it out loud for everybody to hear. Say it out loud so you can hear it, because you need to know this. You see, gratitude makes what you have enough. Being thankful makes what God's given you enough. Even if he only gives you Jesus, if that's all he did for us, that's enough. He did way more because he loves us. But Jesus was way more than we deserve. Simply go to God and take a few minutes and just say thank you. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my kids. Thank you that I'm upright this morning. Thank you that I'm healthy. Thank you that I've got finances, whatever you're grateful for, let God know. The second thing is this: focus on the cross. After you've said thank you, then begin, I challenge you this week, just to take the minute and not only focus on it, but tell God about it. And it sounds stupid. Why are you telling God about something he did? It's because you're internalizing it and you're telling him, God, I'm thankful for this, but I realize what you did. The Bible says, but God put his love on the line for us. This is out of the Message paraphrase. By offering his son in a sacrificial death when we were of no use to him whatsoever. And I don't think this is a controversial statement, but it's a strong one. Hear me out. God doesn't need you. He wants you. God needs us to do what he's asked us to do here on the earth. But the ultimate thing is, if we said no, he's going to get it done. God doesn't need us. He wants us. The Bible says he desires us. And while we were of no use to him, the Bible tells us he gave Jesus. 1 Peter 2 says this, said he personally carried our sins on his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. And that by those wounds, guess what? Because his personal carry on the cross, those wounds say that you're healed. COVID doesn't have a place in your life. because of the cross. The next one for me, and I know I'm going fast, but I'm going to get them in. And I think it's probably important, it's most important for me, because I'm a control freak. I'm the guy, like, 21 years we've been married, we can probably count on my fingers how many times we've both been in the car and Melanie's driven. It's not because she can't drive, because she's not a good driver. It's when I'm driving, when I'm in the car, I want to drive. Even when I'm riding with you, and you may be the best driver in the world, I want to drive. I want the brake and the gas at my control, not yours. I want to go faster, I want to go slower, I want to do it. And so a lot of times in life, if I'm not careful, I pull this over into God. And the third one is this, and it's this nasty word called surrender. This is the place where we ask God to use our lives. Surrender all of me, not just parts. Okay, God, I'll give you my Sundays between 10 and noon. Okay, God, I'm going to give you, you know, my feet. I'm going to give you my hands. I'm going to give you my, you know, my heart. Just my heart. You can have that heart. God, you stay right here and you just leave me alone and I surrender that. Well, that's not what God's after. He's after a total surrender. For you to be able to say, God, my mouth, my mind, my eyes, my hands, my feet. Because this is what you're saying. This is me praying God's plan and purpose, not mine. This is me saying, God, I'm going to let you do it the way you want to do it. And I'm just going to be along for the ride. God, I'm not in charge anymore. You're in charge. God, this is not about me. This is about you. The Bible says, this is again, that's Romans, the message paraphrase. Excuse me. It said, fix your attention on God. And you'll be changed from the inside out. So you have to let him in. You have to choose to fix your eyes on him, let him in, readily recognize what he wants from you, and then quickly respond. See, if you're not surrendered, you can't do that. Why? Because you're trying to do your own thing. The quickest way for you to respond is for you to instantly hear his voice and respond, not have to filter his voice through the rest of the world or through your own purpose, your own plans. The Bible's very clear in John. John says it this way. He says that he must become greater and I must become what? Less. You only have so much capacity. And the idea is that I get what is the life of Clint is less and less of me and more of God. It's our whole vision and statement here of one step, of taking you one step from where you are, one step closer to where God wants you to be. Every step you take is more of God and less of me. And another step, more of God and less of me. But see, a surrendered life can be used by God. So the next thing you need to do is once you surrender it, you do this. The Bible says that he sends an advocate. And I think I missed this one on your slide, number 4. And that's this. Invite the Holy Spirit to work in your life. And when I say that, a lot of church folks, you hear the word Holy Spirit, everybody goes, oh, wait a minute now. He's about to start Shondai and Kitty Mo, and he's about to start pointing people and prophesying. Those are all real. But the Holy Spirit, the Bible is very clear of the Holy Spirit's reason for being here. Look what the Bible says. It says, when the Father sends an advocate, my representative, that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, quick lesson, is a person. It's not an it. An it is the dog. Once you get a dog neutered or spayed, it now becomes an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Bible says it's an equal part of the Godhead. It's a person. And the Bible says we invite him in. Okay, what am I inviting the Holy Spirit in for? Because he's going to teach me some stuff. And when I forget, he's going to remind me. Why does he need to remind me? Because you've got gifts and things that God wants to use. Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy. It says, this is why I remind you to fan in the flames the spiritual gifts that God's given you. If you skip to verse 8 there, it says, so don't be ashamed to do what? To use them, to talk about it. Invite the Holy Spirit in and your prayer. It's simply this. God, I ask you to use me. I've got friends that say they don't need you, that need you. I've got people that I need to reach. I can only do it because you've given me the gifts and I need you by the power of your Holy Spirit to help me. To help me, my dad used to tell me as I was in school, and I would always whine about going to church. And he would always say, listen, you put God first, He'll make up the difference. Because I would go to football practice and have to go to church and then stay up all night studying. And he would tell me, listen, you continue to put God first, and if you miss something in your studying, the Bible says that he's going to bring it to your memory. The Holy Spirit will help you. And you need to be in your prayer life, being able to invite the Holy Spirit. God, help me. Help me do my job better. Help me be a better husband. Help me be a better wife. God, help me do better at work. Help my business through me. Help me do my job better. Invite the Holy Spirit in. Number five. And here's a big one. Claim the promises of God's word. When you pray, this again, why am I telling God what he said to me? The Bible says, hey, test me, prove my word. So you're telling God, God, I know you said that you would give me divine help. I know you said that I'm protected. I know you said that. Claim the promises. But here's the thing you need to know. You can't claim what you're not aware of. And again, we've gone beyond just the general prayer. This is a time in our lives, and really this week even, that we go beyond just, God bless me. How do you want him to bless you? Tell him specifically. God, I'm struggling in my business. There's businesses all over the country now struggling. God, my business is struggling. Help me. God, my family's struggling. My wife, my kid. What? Ask God. Now, God, bless me. You said that you would bless me. You say in your word that if I, as a father, pray and bless my kids, that they will be blessed. Remind him of that. The Bible says in 2 Peter, and because of his glory and his excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. In verse 4, these promises are that enable you to share in his divine nature. Do you realize how huge that statement is? It's saying that, and the Bible's very clear. Even Jesus said, hey, you're going to do greater things than me. That's a big promise. Well, if you don't know about that promise, you can't do it. You can't complain about your health when the Bible says, I'm going to give you health. I gave it to you in Jesus. If you don't know that promise, that these great and precious promises, these are promises that enable us to participate in divine nature and escape all the mess of this world. Let me ask you this. If it's just that right now, if I said to you, I have a way for you to escape the mess, you would have never had to deal with the pandemic. You wouldn't have to worry about which way you voted in the election. You don't have to even deal with politicians anymore. But I can give you something that's better than all that. How many of you would raise your hand? All of you better. God says, I've given you that. I've given you more than your human desires, and I've promised it to you. It's a great and precious promise. Claim those promises. Now, this is not the, if you've grown up in the church and remember over the years, and even still now, there's a lot of churches that are the name it, claim it, the blab it and grab it, the obligate God, because I'm saying God's going to give me $1 million and God's going to give you $1 million. I hope he does. When he does, just remember that a tithe of $1 million is $100,000, and you know, you need to be obedient. But I'm not. I expected more amens out of that. But you need to know that this is not that. This is not claiming something, trying to cajole God into giving you something. The Bible says, of all the promises of God, and if you look through the Bible, I forget, there was a list I had that a friend did. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of specific promises and very specific instances. But for you to have those promises, you have to know them. And this is not you cajoling God. This is you going, God, this is what you said in your word you've already given to me. Because the Bible says, wrapped up in Jesus, that his promises, the answer to his promise in Jesus is what? Yes and amen. And I so bad want to make the a woman joke right now, but I'm just not going to. If you didn't catch that, one of our illustrious politicians decided he was going to equalize the gender gap and prayed in Capitol, on Capitol Hill, at the opening of the Congress, and he said, besides a lot of other stuff that was just not biblical, he said, in a man and a woman. For the record, amen simply means so be it. It's not a matter of fact, it's a gender neutral term in the original language. So anyway, just I couldn't resist. Claim his promises. And the Bible says that in Jesus, you already have them. This is, and I've done this before, and maybe one day this year we'll do it again. I've actually done this in here. Some of you remember, some of you I know are at home remember this. I taped about 5 or 6 Amazon cards to the bottom of some chairs. Do y'all remember that? And we were full that day. And I did it that day specifically. And I talked about promises and the promises of God, that you got to know them. Well, how do you get them? Well, you got to get in the Word. This is exactly what we're talking about. You got to get in His Word. You got to do the one-year Bible thing with us. New Testament, Old Testament, you pick. I don't care. I would rather you read one verse a day than nothing at all. Get the Word in you. But on that day, I put the cards under the chairs, and I talked for the 30 minutes of service. And at the end, I said, by the way, I'm telling you, there's a promise of a $50 card under your chair. And everybody looked at me like, oh, he's kidding. And suddenly I said, no, I'm serious. Under 5 chairs, there's a $50 gift card. And you would like gophers diving in a hole. People diving on the chairs, looking under the bottom of them. And then you hear somebody, found one, woo! What if you had that same reaction with the promise of God? You're struggling in your body, and God says, there's health. You're sitting on it. It's right underneath your feet. Just receive that promise. You're struggling in your marriage. There's peace right there. Just reach under and grab it. When you pray, claim the promises of God's Word. And I promise you, you'll begin to see. We're going to come back next week, and I really, truly want you to do this. I want to know next week. Message us online this week. Send us, tag us, at whatever it is. Hey, I prayed this, and God answered it. This was my request, and God did it this week. We want to know. Why? Because the Bible says your testimony has power and can change lives. It says, I have power, and I live by the word of my testimony. Share that this week. Claim his promises. The sixth one. In your time, after you've given thanks and you've walked through this, thankful for the cross. Let me make sure I give them to you. I don't want to confuse you. Thankful for the cross. You surrender. Invite the Holy Spirit in. Claim the promises of God. And this one is just worship his name. Worship his name. You mean I got to sing? If you want to. If God has, and I've used this, and I got in trouble for it, but I'm going to say it again. God is the American Idol parent. Most of us can't sing, but the louder we sing, the more he enjoys it. It's just like American Idol. This is my baby so-and-so. She's been singing since she was 12. She's going to sing, and she's got the best voice ever. She's going to win American Idol. And they begin to sing, and it's just like somebody's put a cat in a grinder. Just, it's just awful. Yet mama's just as proud. God's not worried about whether you're in tune or not if you worship. He really doesn't even care if you sing, because some other form of worship is, the Bible is just called extolling God. God, I thank you for. I worship you because you are. But you need to know this. There's a difference. There is a place for praise. Praise is kind of how we start the service. It's that celebratory, thank you, God. See, we praise God for what he's done for us, but we worship him. We worship who he is. Notice I didn't say for who he is. We worship who he is. If you look in the Old Testament, the Hebrew people had names for God. And they held them dear. They were holy. I have a friend, a guy that I know who is a Messianic Jew. In other words, he's a Jewish person who believes that Jesus is the Savior. And still to this day, when he writes, if he says, hey, he needs to say God, he'll write asterisk, an O and a D, because they hold it so highly, you don't even type it. You don't even, that's sacrilege. You don't do that. That the Hebrew people have different names for God according to who he is. God, you're my Jehovah Rapha. And there's Jehovah Kanisi, and there's all these Hebrew names. And they mean things like this. God, you're my master, you're my savior, you're my protector, you're my healer, you're my provider. God, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you're just simply worshiping. God, I thank you that you are my shepherd. That God, you're around me. That your word says that you're in front of me and you're behind me. And worshiping God, you're worshiping him for who he is. That's why we have the music track, the Spotify list we put on. It's just, even if you just sing along, a lot of those songs we put on there because it helps us verbalize that worship. Some of the most powerful worship, probably the most impacted times that I have even in all my life, was a time in here. And I didn't say a word. I didn't sing a word. I was just at the end of my rope. I was tired. And I walked in and right here and just sat down on my knees and just said, God, I'm here. And I just sang along with whatever was playing. It's just you taking time to worship who he is. Thank him. Go back and thank him. I thank you. You are this to me. I thank you. You've done this for me. But you are this. You are my rescue. You are my salvation. One of the names of God is he's the banner of victory. How many of you right now in your life, God, I need some victory. In this area of my life, I need to win. And we laugh about Trump and all his craziness, but he says, I just like to win. Some of us just need to win. You've been letting the world, the devil, beat up on us, and you just need to win. Well, God says, I am that. And you can worship me for that. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18, chapter 18, verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. And what a godly people. Let me just kind of break this down a little bit more. What do people who are hungry for God and still need help do? They run to him. And they're safe. There was a whole move a long time about all these safe rooms that you put them in a house, and it's a concrete room, a block room in a house, and that's my safe room. And that's going to save me from the world when the pandemic hits and the nuclear arsenal drops on us and the world comes to an end. I'm going to run to this safe room and I can survive. Well, God says, why? I've already done that for you. It's a strong tower, and the godly can run to it and are safe. You worship him for who he is. God, you are my strong tower. You're my safe room. When I don't know what else to do, God, I'm standing with you. When I do know what to do, God, I'm still standing with you. Look at the Bible says in Psalm 95. It says, come let us worship. And this is what I take people when they tell me, I don't know about that kind of worship. Y'all do. I don't know about that raising the hands and you expect me to make a noise. Yeah, why? Because the Bible says. It even goes further. Come let us worship. Bow down. Kneel. You know, if you look through history, even kings all over the earth, you didn't walk into the king. You didn't just strut in. Sup? Next thing they do is off with your head. Why? Because you're not worshiping the king. You're not holding him and giving him the honor deserved. Yet, a lot of us, and maybe we're even online, have you ever had the thought that right now, or as we were doing worship, I'm worshiping the king? And I remember thinking one time, well, we were all online in the spring. And after about the fourth or fifth week, all right, God, it's time for church. What do we do? You just throw on the robe and go sit on the couch, right? You just lay in your PJs, whatever. But I thought, would I do this to God? No. And it wasn't that God would be offended by my clothes, but I think he might be bothered by my attitude. So when you pray, it's us going, God, I'm coming, and I'm going to worship, and I'm going to surrender. And part of the way I'm going to show you I'm surrendering is I'm going to bow down. And I'm going to kneel before the guy who made me, the God who made me. You worship for God for who he is. He's the creator, and I worship him. It says in verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people. And he does what? He shepherds us. You worship him for who he is. God, you're my shepherd. God, I worship you for being my provider. I worship you for being my health. God, I worship you. You know, the Jewish people, if you read in the Old Testament, and again, more of this is in the prayer guide. You can read that. So I'm not going to give you all of it, but I want to close with this, and worship team, y'all can come back up. In the Old Testament, you have the tabernacle. The tabernacle was basically what we would call today portable church. And they just moved this tent around, and it had all these components. And that's really where this prayer guide comes from. And in the innermost place, there really was something called the Ark of the Covenant. Most of us in our day and age think of Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? There really was, there's this box, and it had two angels over it. And the angels have had both their wings pointed toward each other. And the Bible and the Jewish people teaches that was in between those two angels, was called cherubims, they're angels, was where the presence of God dwelt. And once a year, before Jesus, we don't have to do this anymore because Jesus, our high priest, paid the cost for us. But once a year, the Jewish priest would have to go in, cleanse himself, do all this stuff so he was perfect, clean, and if there was anything wrong with him, when he stepped into that inner place, he was dead. They'd drag him out with a rope tied to his feet. But he would go in, and he would pray for you. The Bible says that he would go in and pray for the people of Israel and ask God for mercy and grace. And he would atone for their sins. He would apply blood. The Bible says of Jesus that he once and for all answered that for us. So your last one, and number 7, is we need to be doing what those priests did, because the Bible says that we are now what? Royal priesthood. Come on, some of you know it. Holy nation. That's us now. Because Jesus is within us. And the last one you need to do is you need to be praying for others. We get so selfish. Ushers, you guys can kill the lights as well. We get so selfish when we pray. God, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Do for me, do for me, do for me. That I challenge you, before you get up from your time of prayer, or if you're at work, whatever you're doing, you better be praying for somebody else. Praying for somebody else that needs to know God the way you do. That needs, is lost and hurt. That needs life. That needs to know somebody loves them. That we pray for others. The Bible says in 1 Timothy that I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. And let me tell you, and I'm saying this in a humorous way, but I'm serious. Praying for other people is not praying, God, I pray the curse of 1,000 fleas and give them, you know, pray curses down on them and give them blisters and sores and God, take them out because they're... That's not what I'm talking about. The Bible says pray for all people. If you go to the next verse, it says, and ask God to help them. You need to pray for people you don't like. You need to pray for the politicians you don't like. Whether you voted for them or not, the Bible says that, God, I need you to help them. I need you to give them wisdom. God, I need you to pray for this person beside me, this person that's done me wrong. God, help them. Intercede on their behalf. And then here's the kicker. Because there's people in all of our lives that I really don't care what happens to you, if we're honest. Look what the Bible says. And do what? give thanks for them. You really want me to give thanks for this sorry so-and-so and so-and-so? Yes. Why? Because that sorry so-and-so and so-and-so has a soul and was created by the same God who made you. And this week, we're going to pray for them. And we're going to let Christ be magnified in our lives, and we're going to let God show up and do some big things in our lives. Because we're going to give him some time. We're going to walk through this. We're going to see God, seek God, and then see God move. God, if they don't know you, that today they would pray something simple like this. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. And God, I'm going to start following you every day. Help me, God. The Bible says if you do that, your salvation is secure, and now we're on the walk. So today I ask you, do you need to pray that? Just right where you are, I'm not going to call you up, and if that's you and you've prayed that, then grab the card in front of you, mark it, and you can throw it in to the offering at the end. We never leave here with that. For the rest of us, from you watching online as well, I'm going to give you a command. Pray. Start this week with us. Do it every day this week. End with us on Saturday at 9. Every day this week. God, we thank you that you hear us and you answer prayers. God, I bless the offering as people may give on the way out. This is their time to give and their tithe and your offering. God, again, that it's about worshiping you, who you are for us, our provider. And we give to you in obedience the tithe, and we bring you a gift of worship. And we say, thank you for it now, Father. Thank you for being so good to us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,